Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, are you ready to die? If you knew that tomorrow would be the day of your death, what would you be sure to do in the waning hours of today? Here's a suggestion. Call me. In addition to bringing you the Lord's Supper, I will pray with you the rite for the commendation of the dying. This rite, in the companion volume to the hymnal, concludes with this prayer. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Not just this rite, though. At this moment in the twilight of your years, which I've prayed both in the days and months away from a person's death and during the time of death itself, but nearly everything that the church does is to prepare you for death. The divine service itself, wherein you are fed with the crucified and risen body and blood of Jesus, which the church fathers called the medicine of immortality, is the best game in town for preparing you for death. And at Compline, prayer at close of day, every hymn, every prayer evokes the image of the setting sun to remind you of the twilight of your lives. With all this thinking about death, though, Lutherans aren't very popular with funerals because we have no eulogies. Those whose superficial theologies keep them at arm's length from death and who have celebrations of life instead of funerals are quite surprised at this. But a eulogy, a good word of praise for the departed, is completely inappropriate at a funeral. For one thing, I'd have to be honest. Yes, many of you might have been touched by his life, but more times than not, he was a pretty selfish jerk. Sure, he was faithful to his wife outwardly, but inwardly his heart was filled with lustful thoughts. She was quite an upstanding member of the community, but secretly she hated her neighbors. She never spoke any falsehoods, but the truth she spoke about you was so destructive to your reputation. He gave quite a bit of money to the church, but that's because, as a narcissist, he wanted people to respect him. He was so young and innocent, except when he wasn't, which was nearly always. She was so full of life, except when she was overwhelmed with guilt and despair. So leave the eulogies to those who have no one else to talk about at a funeral other than the dead person. And nothing said in a eulogy demonstrates that a person was truly ready to die. But Simeon was ready to die. St. Luke records this about Simeon. He was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was righteous and devout, not because of anything that he did, but because he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, trusting in the Lord to send his promised Messiah to deliver his people from their slavery to sin. So, when otherwise unassuming, unpretentious Mary and Joseph bring their 40-day-old baby boy, firstborn, to the temple for the rites of purification, Simeon knows that he is ready to die. And he confesses it. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Are you? Have you been attending to the things that matter or striving after inconsequential things that will no longer be yours on the day of your death? Even if some well-meaning family member puts it in your casket to be entombed with you, it's not yours anymore. It will just decay alongside your body. What will it profit you if you gain the whole world, close the deal, make the sale, win the game, make the play, catch up on your sleep, get ahead on those projects, spend some time with your family, but do not attend to the eternal things? The hearing of the word, the forgiveness of sins, the life eternal delivered to you in the Lord's means of grace. How strange it must have been for Mary and Joseph arranging for that sacrifice for their 40-day-old boy. If you are buying back the life of the second person of the Trinity, the sinless Son of God, what is an acceptable sacrifice? A pair of turtle doves? Really? That was the alternative to the costlier sacrifice of a lamb, allowed by Mosaic law if a family was unable to afford a lamb. But how does a pair of created objects, created through the one Mary and Joseph were bringing to the temple to redeem, pay for the life of Jesus, that his parents can take him home as theirs again? It doesn't. Like the martyred boys in Bethlehem and the innocent lamb in the garden who gave its skin to cover the sin of our first parents, the death of those two innocent turtle doves and of every lamb and of every bird offered for the ritual of purification and presentation points forward to the sacrifice of the Creator himself, the incarnate Word, the God-man, Jesus, for the benefit of all of his creation. There was no reason for Jesus to be brought to the temple. He is the temple, the dwelling of God with his creation. But because every other firstborn Jewish boy was to be presented in the temple when he was 40 days old, Jesus submitted to the Jewish law. Every firstborn son belonged not to his earthly parents, but to the Lord. With this sacrifice of presentation, he was redeemed, bought back by his parents. And before a woman who had given birth would be permitted back into the worshiping community, she had to offer the sacrifice for purification, a reminder of the original sin with which every person is born. But Mary did not conceive or deliver in any normal way, so her son possessed no original sin. And she knew that her son was never wholly hers anyway. So all of this ritual subjection to the law was unnecessary. But Jesus came anyway, submitted himself to the law anyway. The sacrifice was unnecessary, of course. That's the way it is with Jesus, though, always taking his place under the law. It's why he was born, the perfect union of God and man. It's why he was born from the womb of a virgin, with human flesh unspoiled by sin. And it's why when Simeon took this baby in his arms, he confessed that then he was ready to die. Being prepared to die is nothing else than to hope in him who took your place under the law, who took the law's punishment for all of your sinfulness, who died on the cross, enduring the full fury of the wrath of God. Jesus alone prepares you for death. That's why the 19th century Lutherans took a canticle, a song from the service of Compline, the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon, and added it into the divine service after the distribution of the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Communion. What Simeon held in his arms, the precious body of his Savior, you receive into your very mouth. And what Simeon knew, that this Savior, even while only an infant, was the one taking away the sin of the world, you confess that his body and blood do exactly that. They take away your sin and they prepare you to die. At your funeral, you can expect me to preach not about you, but about your Lord. who died for you, who took your sins away, who in the waters of holy baptism placed his name and his seal upon you eternally, claiming you as his beloved child, who fed you regularly with his body and his blood, who prepared you to die that little death, the sleep of death, by dying the big death on the cross, the death of eternal separation from God in your place. We will preach about Jesus then as we preach about Jesus now, so that now as then you are prepared to die, to depart in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.